Psalm 33, verse 6 through 9. Let's read it all together. Go. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and he stood, and it stood fast. Let me read verse 9 to you. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. That's what we began with last week. We saw that God created everything with his words. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He took disorder and brought order in creation with his words. Everything was created by the word of God. Everything, even right now, is sustained by the power of his word. Like it says there in verse 6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. He commanded, and it caused creation to come into being. But then we saw there was a shift. In Genesis chapter 1, when he created human beings, he says, let us make man, people, human beings, in our image, and let us, in our likeness. And then he says, let them have dominion. He delegated his authority. I don't mean that God is less sovereign. He's absolutely sovereign, meaning he has all power and authority. But he, when he created human beings, created us in his image to be the stewards of this world. And he really gave us authority. It says in Genesis 1, let them have dominion over all the earth. Then he says to human beings, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. And it's the first time in creation, the first time in Genesis 1, that it does not say, and it was so. Let there be light, and it was so. Let there be grass, it was so. Let there be trees, it was so, it was so. But the first time that it does not say it was so is when he told human beings, be fruitful and multiply. Why? Because now, God puts his word in us, and he's looking for us to speak it in faith and obviously also to walk it out in obedience to see those things happen on the earth. This is what we saw last week. We saw this is exactly what Jesus did on the earth. How did he calm a storm? With words. How did he heal the sick? With words. How did he cast out demons? With words. Not just any words, the word of God coming out of his mouth with faith. And then he taught us we can do the same. He said, remember we looked at Mark chapter 11, have faith in God. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and it does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Jesus taught us the same thing, and we see people in the book of Acts, and we see promises that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, that when we speak words, the word of God, with faith, we can see people healed. Remember, like Peter raised that cripple up. Guy had never walked before, and Peter said, stand on your feet. I'm sorry, it was Paul. Peter did stuff too, but that story right there was from Paul. And he said, stand up, walk on your feet, with words. And the man walked. See, we saw even that Jesus released provision in people's lives, right? He fed the 5,000 men plus women and children with words. All he did was take the food, and he blessed it. He said, thank you, Lord, and it multiplied for everyone's provision. And we see the same thing in our own lives, that when we will speak words of faith, it will release provision in our lives. So that's what we looked at last week. That's a real quick review. Today, what I want to do is I want to show you four things that we need to get into alignment in our life. If you will, there's wisdom in the Word of God. God teaches us how to walk this out step by step. And there's four things that I want to show you how to get yourself into agreement, into alignment. It's like you know, today's like a spiritual chiropractor. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry, I'm not going to jump on your back or nothing. But, you know, there's some good chiropractors and some bad chiropractors. You know what I'm saying? I was talking to Tommy one time, and he was telling me about that. You know, he went to a chiropractor one time. And, man, this person, tell him, you got to come to me every week, you know, that kind of thing. And, I've seen, funny shows sometimes where, like, the guy goes to the chiropractor and the dude's, like, jumping on his back and he can't walk, you know. You see things like that. You know, you ever see, like, I don't know if your friends do this, but I've got these friends. They like to do that bear hug thing, and then they pick you up and it cracks your back. I've seen them walk on each other's backs. They try to do that to me, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, hi-ya! Like, back off, you know. He ain't touching my back. Do you have a license to jump on me? No. You know what I'm saying? So I got my friends, no, I got you. I'm like, back off, you know what I'm saying? There's bad chiropractors. And then there's good ones, you know what I'm saying? I've heard of good ones, like Tommy was telling me. He went to a chiropractor, like I said. Man, every week the guy said, oh, you got to come back. You're always going to have this problem. And then he went to another chiropractor where it was like, oh, no, I got this thing. And he did some adjustment and he was fine. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just saying there's people out there who are good, people who are bad. You know how that is. Well, listen, there's preachers that'll teach you the word of God. But they'll tell you why you can't have what God's word says. They'll teach the word of God all your life, but they'll leave out the most powerful things so you'll get in alignment and see God's power operate in your life. Why? You know why? Because sometimes people are okay with just keeping it a theory, just keeping it a story. Listen, these are stories. They really happen with a real God in real people's lives. And this word is for us now. The Bible actually says, this is a side note here. This one's free. Just joking. Actually, that joke doesn't really work in church. I used to teach in college, and I'd say that to the college students. I always say that, oh, hey, this one's for free. They'd laugh, you know. It didn't really work here. Okay. The Bible says that everything that was written for our learning. It says it many different ways, but that one's Romans 15. Everything was written for us. See, so we need to come to the Word of God and get some things into alignment. There's four things. Let me tell you. Well, number one, we need to get into alignment by agreeing with God's Word. Number two, we need to get into alignment by agreeing with our own words. I'll explain that in a second. Number three, we need to get into alignment by agreeing with others' words, others that are speaking words of faith. And number four, we need to get into alignment by canceling words that are not in agreement with God, that are misaligned. Look, we need to get into alignment. There's a lot of areas, possibly even in your own life, that are out of whack. But it's because of your words. And if you will get your words into agreement with God and walk through this process I'm going to show you, it'll change everything. That's a good title for a message, right? All right. So check this out. Number one, we need to get our words into agreement with God. Right there in Ezekiel 37. This is a story, some of you are familiar with it, regarding the dry bones. The dry bones. And you remember that God brought Ezekiel into a valley of dry bones, very dry bones. It says this in verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. See what God did? He brought Ezekiel into this valley and showed him these dry bones. This dead army that had been dead a long time. Purpose, potential, vision, destiny, and had been gone. Dead, stuck, hopeless for a long time. See, sometimes that's where people are at. In their own lives. But you know, sometimes it's not your life. Sometimes the Lord puts you with people or in places, and there are very dry bones. And you wonder, man, why is this so hard? Why aren't people open to change or open to the Lord? Well, maybe that's why he puts you there. And he brings you into this place to say, I want to do something. Now listen to how it happens, though. Very specifically, there's some very specific things that the Lord does with Ezekiel. So now in verse 3, it says this. He, God, said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. So Ezekiel, I think that's a biblical way of saying, I don't know, Lord. You know, right? He's like, you know, Lord. I mean, it doesn't look like any hope. Come on. Can these dry bones really live, right? And Ezekiel's saying, Lord, I don't know. You tell me. And listen to what the Lord says here. Verse 4, again he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And then notice what Ezekiel does, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. What did he do? He spoke the word of the Lord. God gave him the exact words to say. In fact, down to great detail, huh? Not just you shall live, but oh, dry bones. There's going to be breath in you and skin on you and tendons and muscles. And he spoke details to this. Details of what the Lord was saying and what the Lord was showing. But notice, Ezekiel did not speak his own words. He did not speak what he saw. He did not speak what he felt. He did not speak what he hoped would happen. He spoke what God said would happen. God gave him a vision. God gave him the words. And he said, now listen, I want you to prophesy the word of the Lord. And so literally, or Ezekiel took the words of the Lord and then repeated them to the dry bones. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And then he spoke it. The Lord says to you, you will live. And then he goes on with those details. So notice what he says. So I prophesied as I was commanded. See, he decreed the command of God. He prophesied the word of the Lord. And it says, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So then the Lord said again in verse 9, also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And once again, Ezekiel did the exact same thing he did before. He prophesied the word of the Lord. He declared what God had said. And so it says in verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now, what caused them to become alive? It was the word of the Lord. God's word is what carries the life and the power of God to change circumstances, to change situations, to bring healing, to bring life, to bring breakthrough, to change circumstances. But somebody has to speak it. Look in verse 14. Verse 14, God is still prophesying through Ezekiel, and he says, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Listen, then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. See, God is saying, when these things happen, when they take place, when that breakthrough comes, when that life, when your purpose is fulfilled, you'll know that I am the Lord. You'll know that I spoke it and I performed it. My power. But I find that so interesting because God is saying, I spoke it. I caused it to happen. But who voiced it? Ezekiel. Somebody has to prophesy the word of the Lord. It's why he created us in his image and delegated his authority to us. Listen, until you open your mouth and voice God's word with faith, it will not happen. Until you ask in the name of Jesus and with faith in his name. Until you command it to happen, until you speak to the dry bones of your life or this city as the church and say, dry bones, you will live. Why? See, we're not just speaking what we think. We're not just speaking what we want to happen. We're speaking what God says. But so often we as people, we just talk what we see, what we feel. It says like this in Proverbs 29:11, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. See, a wise person understands that we have the power of life and death in our tongue. And a wise person will put a guard over their mouth. A wise person will filter their words to make sure that I'm in agreement with God's word. This is exactly what Jesus did in his whole life and his whole ministry. He never got off the word of God. He says in John chapter 8, verse 26, Jesus says, I have many things to say to you and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Jesus is saying, listen, I only say the things that the Father tells me to say. No, there was no sermon that Jesus preached that he did not get directly from the Father. Every time he spoke, be healed, you are healed, he was getting that instruction from the Father. He was in agreement, in alignment with the word of the Father, and he spoke it. That's why we see Jesus batting 100%. That's why he doesn't miss. That's why he doesn't fail. 10 for 10. 100%. Why? Because he never got off the word of God. Listen, you can speak what you feel if you want. You can speak what you see, but that's all you're going to get. A fool vents all his feelings. Well, that's just how I think. That's just who I am. That's how I feel. Hey, it's my life. And you can talk that way, but the Bible's saying, but you're being a fool. And you don't need to be a fool. The Lord's giving us wisdom right here. It's when God's word is coming out of your mouth that it releases God's power. It's kind of like, think of it like a syringe. The power, the cure, is the medicine in the syringe, not the syringe itself. But the syringe is the vehicle. It's what delivers that medicine. See, so if you're a nurse, you take that medicine, you put it in the syringe, and you apply it to that person, yeah? And it's the same thing in your life. If you will fill your mouth, your words, if your words, if you will, the syringe, are carrying God's powerful and true words, it will bring God's life, God's healing, God's cure, God's power to your life and other people's lives. But if you put your words in that syringe, and you speak what you think and what you see, side effects. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to say amen to that. I'm just messing. No, we don't want side effects. You speak your words, you get your results. You speak God's word, you're going to get God's results. You notice that Ezekiel called them dry bones. God told him, say to those dry bones, oh dry bones. You can speak the situation. You can say, oh, my bank account. You can speak that situation. You can be honest with God. God will tell you, oh, yeah, those bones are dry. You know what I'm saying? We're not walking in denial. We're not just like, oh, just have positive thinking, you know? No, God is saying, no. Take that situation and now speak what I want to happen. Yes. Prophesy what I will do. But so many people, they'll just look at what they see and they think that's it. No, I'm always going to be in debt. No, I can't get out of this. Oh, man, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And, you know, and that's it. That's all they got. And all they can see is what's right there in front of them, what they feel, what they think. But when you hear God's word and he gives you his heart, his vision, his will, then you speak that. You speak that. Number two, we need to be in agreement with our words. Not what we feel and what we think, but when we're speaking God's word. Step one, you speak God's word. But once you are speaking God's word, stick with it. Don't change. Be in agreement with your own words. If you have spoken words of faith, don't go back on them. Like it says in Hebrews, that's Ezekiel. Like it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession, the declaration, the proclamation, if you will, of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. If you have made the confession, if you have declared it, stick with it. Some of you recall that we handed out prophetic words for the year that the Lord gave to Pastor Jerry. And these words are for us. I mean, these kind of things are true all the time. But there's something about the Lord coming and saying, this is what I'm doing now in your life. This is what I'm saying now. Listen to this that the Lord prophetically gave to Pastor Jerry. And I've been receiving it. I want you to receive it. The Lord spoke this to him while he was meditating on Ezekiel 37. It says this. The Lord says, I am ready to breathe new life into things once dead, into things that are stuck, into dry bones. I am ready to show my power and dominion through you. Listen to the word of the Lord. Prophesy to these places in your life. Speak what I speak, and I will breathe on them in the heavenly realm. In the spirit realm, I will act. You won't see anything in the natural realm when you speak, but in the heavenlies. I will release my power upon your command. And it shall come to pass that if you do not negate the words that you have spoken, that situation, that circumstance, that dream shall begin to show signs of life, and it shall stand and live, and you will be filled with joy, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. You hear what the Lord is saying? You need to speak. You need to command it to happen. But when that begins to happen, you don't necessarily see it manifest right away. Things begin to happen in the spirit realm. Angels are released and powerful things happen. The word is sent forth. And situations begin to change. Hearts begin to change. You begin to change. But because you don't see it happening in the natural yet, we're tempted to give up, to quit, to change our words, to say, oh, I knew that wasn't going to happen. Oh, I don't, is that ever going to happen? And we start complaining. And notice the word of the Lord. He says, it shall come to pass that if you do not negate the words you have spoken, that situation, that circumstance, that dream shall begin to show signs of life. Listen, if you'll speak God's word and then you stick with it and don't cancel your words, don't speak words of faith over here and then speak words of unbelief over here and cancel out, negate, shut down the power of God. You got to stick with it. You got to stay in agreement with your own words. It's like what James says about that double-minded man. He says this, he says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So what happens when you're filled with that anxiety? We all go through things. We all see it. We all feel it. But when in your anxiety then, in your worry, you begin to become double-minded. Maybe God will do it. Maybe he won't. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's in your heart, that's what you really believe. That's what you really value. That's what you really fear. And that's what you're going to speak. And what happens is you become double-minded and double-tongued. Over here, you're blessing God, and over here, you're cursing people, like James 3 says. Speaking words of faith over here, and then speaking words of unbelief over here. And it shuts down the power of God. And James says, don't even expect to receive anything from the Lord. See, some of you, you're mad at God because you think God hasn't come through. But maybe, you prayed one thing and then said another. See, we'll come to church and we'll say, I believe God, and we'll thank the Lord, and we'll praise the Lord, and we'll ask the Lord. And then we'll go over here and in the situation, in the workplace, maybe with the homies, and we'll say something else. And God says, see, they don't believe me. And we'll shut down the power of God. You've got to be consistent. Got to be consistent and speak, continue to speak God's word. That's exactly why, as Roger was bringing out, why Jesus says, do not say, what shall we wear? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What? Do not say. Why? Because out of that anxiety, out of that anxious heart, there the words start coming. Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to drink? How could God turn this situation around? How could that really happen? Right? And we start speaking these things. Listen, we need to stop complaining and start praising. We need to stop grumbling and start prophesying. Stop saying what you see and start proclaiming what God said. We need to command those things, those situations in our life to turn around. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Listen, this is Jesus. There are so many examples of this in the Bible. So many examples. I got so much to cover. Let me do this quick. You remember that one time that this man named Jairus came to Jesus, desperate, and said, Jesus, if you come and lay your hands on my daughter, she will live. His daughter was at the point of death, very sick. Man waited until the last minute. And he comes to Jesus and he begs him, Jesus, please come with me. And of course, Jesus is moved with compassion and he goes with Jairus. But notice what Jairus said in Mark chapter 5. If you will come, Jesus, and you'll lay your hands on her, she will live. What did he do? He spoke faith. He knew that Jesus was the healer. He knew the promises in the Bible. Here's Jesus coming to minister these things. And he prophesied. He spoke life. Jesus, if you'll do that, she will live. And he voiced with his own mouth his faith to Jesus. That moves Jesus. So, oh, I'm coming. Here we go. And on their way, you guys probably remember the story, a woman who had an internal bleeding for like 12 years comes up behind Jesus in the crowd, touches the bottom of his garment. And when she touches him, power goes out of Jesus and she's healed. Well, Jesus stops everything. Hey, who touched me? You know? And she's freaked out, but she tells him the whole story. Bible says, and she told him the whole story. So now you're you know you're Jairus, and you're going, oh, man, come on.
Stop talking, lady.
You know what I'm saying? He doesn't need to know what you ate yesterday. You know, there's people like that, right? They go off and telling you a million things. And you know Jairus is like, oh, no. So finally, Jesus ministers to this woman. He says, your faith has made you well. Ministers to her. Go in peace, daughter. He turns around, and as they're getting closer to Jairus' house, what happens? His friends, his servants come out, and they tell Jairus, hey, don't trouble the master anymore. Don't trouble Jesus. Your daughter's dead. You know, sometimes you speak words of life, and it gets worse. Jesus, if you come, she's going to live. And now there's been delay, and there's been distraction, and there's been interruptions, and now death. See, if you walk by sight, you go, pfft, that didn't work. He didn't come through. But here's what Jesus did. Those other people spoke words of death, and you know what Jesus did? Immediately, instantly, he said this. He turned to Jairus and said, do not be afraid, only believe. Why did he do that? Because he knew those words of death just went out of those people's mouth. And if Jairus has opened his big mouth, that's not good. Jesus is teaching Jairus something here. And he's teaching us something. Jairus, do not fear. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Now, it's interesting. What's Jairus supposed to believe? What he already said. Do not fear. Only believe. Believe what? That she'll live. You think death can stop Jesus? You think the situation's dead? Nothing can stop the Lord. You say, oh, it's dead. Oh, those bones are very dry. And the Lord says, only believe. So Jairus spoke words of life. Words of death are now spoken. Things have gotten worse. And Jesus is saying, no, you stick with it. You stick with it. And of course, Jesus walks right in, goes into that daughter, and says, little girl, it's time to get up. And she was raised from the dead. She came back to life. Why? Because it doesn't matter if she's sick or dead. If Jesus is the resurrection life, she will live. It doesn't matter if you are deep in debt or a little bit in debt. He can break that yoke of debt and provide for you. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a cold or a cancer. If the Bible says, by his stripes you're healed, and Jesus is the healer, what's it to him? Is something too hard for God? Nothing. See? And so we need to get our words into alignment and into agreement with God. You know, this is why, like, in the story of Jericho, remember when the Israelites surrounded Jericho? They marched around Jericho for 7 days, 7 times, and on the last day, 7 times, and then they shouted? This is why in that story, in that testimony, those Israelites were not allowed to say a word, not a peep, not a grunt, all 7 days until they shouted. Isn't that interesting? God told them, don't say a word. Why is that? Because their parents, the first generation of the Israelites, they wandered for 40 years in the desert grumbling. You know, they were supposed to just be about a year in the desert, get on out, get into the promised land. But because of their words, their grumbling, they're complaining. They stayed there for 40 years. And so now here are the kids, the second generation, and God has put faith in them through Moses and Joshua, and they're going to lead them into the promised land. And these young people are excited. Let's do this. And God says, listen, I don't want you to say anything and ruin this thing. I know what your parents were like. You probably heard these things. And now they're going to be walking around these walls and nothing's going to happen for a while. He says, zip it. I was a little intense yesterday at our basketball game. We coached the kids in basketball. These kids are great. I love these kids. They played 110% to the end. This is awesome, right? Steven and I are the coach. But we lost. That team was better, but I'm telling you, our kids played hard. They played hard. But a couple of the kids, you know, they start grumbling at about halftime. I heard it from the bench. And I heard it at halftime. And you got to know, I put confidence in these kids anyways. You play 110. But I get them in and start, get over here. I don't want to hear anybody say, we're going to lose. Zip it. That's what I told them.
zip it.
I don't want to hear it. We play like winners. We go at this thing. That's what I told him. Number three, we speak God's word, then we stick with it and get in agreement with our own words. And then number three, we get into agreement with others' words. Not words of unbelief, but words of faith. Other people who are speaking words of faith, we get into agreement. Just like Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 19, he says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Notice he does not say, if two or more pray. He doesn't say that. He says, if two or more of you agree in what you ask. Talking about prayer, clearly. But he says, if two or more of you agree. Shoot, you could be believing God for this and somebody else believing God for that. You're praying for this and they're praying for that. What? I mean, the Lord's like, no, I'm just joking. What do you want me to do? No, listen. Can you imagine if the church would get into agreement with God and with each other, walk in unity, pray the same, work for the same goal, pray for the same goal? Do you realize what could happen? That's what happened in the book of Acts. The Bible says they were in one accord. It wasn't talking about a Honda. It's talking about unity. Unity. Do you know what would happen if married couples, if husbands and wives, would come together in agreement and speak the same word and ask God to do the same thing? Oh, the power of God. Now, I'm telling you, Michelle and I have been learning this over a number of years, but recently as we transitioned here to our assignment here in St. Louis, more than ever before, we had to be in agreement on every level. We're taking some big risks, you know. The Lord's doing great things here. And we had to be in agreement. Even recently, we talk these things through, we pray these things through and stuff, but I was saying, hey, we need to hear the Lord on some decisions, some personal things. I said, hey, we need to get into agreement. Let's pray, let's ask the Lord, let's get into agreement. Here's what I sense from the Lord. And Michelle made a comment. She said, well, I'm believing the Lord for this. There was nothing wrong with her saying that. I said, okay, that's good. But I said, if we're believing God for two different things, then we're out of agreement. I said, if it's two things that complement, that's different, right? So we got to talk that through, pray it through. But I said, if it's two things that are in agreement, oh, she's over here believing God for this, I'm believing God for that, where's the unity in that, right? So I wasn't telling her how to think. I wasn't doing that. She didn't do anything wrong. She's a woman of faith. I said, listen, so let's get together. Let's talk. Let's pray and seek the Lord and hear the Lord. What's the Lord wanting us to believe him for and declare and to prophesy? See, we had to get into agreement. We had to get an agreement. And we've done these things like years ago for a van. We needed a van, you know. We had to get an agreement, though. What are we believing God for? I mean, literally, it was like down to the color. Like, what color do you want? What kind of van do you want? What's the price? You know, what do we believe in God for? And the Lord spoke to us and worked it. And exactly what we asked for, that's exactly what the Lord did. So many people, they're in disunity with each other. And they're out of alignment with God. See, so we've got to get into agreement with one another as a church, in relationships, brothers and sisters in Christ, and say, okay, what are we agreeing here is the will of God and what the Lord is saying to us. Now let's speak that, let's pray that, and let's work towards that. Amen? Amen, amen. Lastly, let me wrap up with this, is the fourth one. So important. We have to confront, we have to cancel words that are in disagreement with God's word and with our words. Listen to this in Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you, everyone say you. In judgment, you shall condemn. Everyone say you. There are words that come against you, words of death, accusations. The Bible in Ephesians 6 calls them fiery darts that come from the pit of hell. But guess who speaks them? People. James chapter 3 says that the tongue is a world of iniquity, that it's a fire, and that it's lit on fire by hell. The enemy ensnares people in his will, gets him to think his thoughts, and he gets people to speak his words, words of death, over you. Sometimes all the way from your childhood. Sometimes friends, sometimes coworkers. Sadly, it happens a lot in families. You can't, you're not. People who put you down, people who want to shut you down and shut down the call of God in your life. Words. And those words, they are fiery darts, and they are lodged from the enemy, and they are aimed at your heart. They are aimed at your life. They are aimed at your faith to rob you. You see, listen, your words are the most important in your own life. You have authority over your own life. You speak words of life over your own life, brings life to you. Just like when you got saved, you believed in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. You confessed Jesus as Lord, the Bible says, and you're saved. And nobody can stop that from happening. Now your name is written in the book of life. You're going to heaven. The Bible says nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I mean, you can walk away, but that's different. Nobody can stop you from being saved if you will believe and confess. So your words are the most important. But others' words can hurt you, can attack your faith, can discourage you. And their words really are powerful. Those human beings, not the devil, the devil can't do anything. He's got to put those thoughts in you or those thoughts in other people and get you to speak those words, those lies and those words of death. But listen, if they speak it and you believe it and you start speaking it, now it's going to bring death to you. And so you cannot let those things sit. You can't let some fiery dart comes at you, some arrow come, bam, hits you in the heart. And now it's smoldering. These accusations, these lies about God. He doesn't love you. He doesn't forgive you. These lies about who you are. Accusations against you. Words that are telling you you're never going to amount to anything. You're not worth loving. These words, you can't let them sit there. You can't let them just hang out in your heart, hang out in your mind. So many times you go and you go have coffee with those words. You go hang out. Hey, let's talk about it. Let's think about it. Maybe they're right. Maybe the devil's right. You don't say it like that. But you think about it and you think about it and you let it bother you and you let it tear you down and you let it shut down the word of God in your life and the power of God in your life. No more. It is time to cancel those words, to confront those words. And notice what Isaiah 54 verse 17 says. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you, that accuses you, that attacks you. But listen, it attacks you in judgment, false judgment. It says this, you shall condemn. You shall condemn. See, we're saying, oh God, deliver me. God, deliver me. Amen. The battle's the Lord's. But listen, you got to open your mouth. God didn't say to Goliath, I'm going to cut your head off. David said that. Didn't even have a sword in his hand. Why? Because the sword was in his mouth. It's called the sword of the Spirit. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 6 says, man, you got to put on the armor of God. And it says this, put up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So those words are coming at you, and you got to hold up that shield of faith. What does that mean? You believe what God said, not what they said. But notice it doesn't stop there. It says, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. That's your offensive weapon. What's the sword of the Spirit? The word of God coming out of your mouth. And you cut those things off. You believe God, and then you speak those words, and you cut those words off. You shall condemn those words. You shall condemn those words. You need to rise up. And maybe it's something all the way from your past. Maybe it's something you don't even know where it came from. All you know is you think it. You struggle with this. You need to confront it. You need to say, that's not true. That's not from God. It's from the devil. And then you start speaking the word of God. And you get back into alignment with God, back into alignment with your words, back into agreement with people's words of faith, and you break those things. All the way from when I was a little kid, I've had people speak words. You're stupid. You're not going to college. You're not going to amount to anything. I had words spoken to me, not my parents. Not my parents. My parents were awesome. I had words spoken to me, but I didn't need their help. I told myself, oh, you're dumb. I told myself that. Even as a believer, young believer, I had so much insecurity. But I began to realize that's not what God says I am. And I began to confront those things. The Holy Spirit began to show me, hey, see that thought right there, that word? No. That's not true. I began to identify, hey, that's a lie. And I would do that. I'd say, I renounce this. That's a lie. I confronted it. You have to say it. And then with my words, I would say, Lord, I thank you that your word says, and I began to declare God's word over me, over my life, over the vision of my life, and those strongholds broke. Confidence came into my heart. Freedom came into my life. See? I wouldn't be here if I didn't do that. Isn't this exactly what Jesus did? Remember when Jesus was telling them, hey, I'm going to die. He said, the Son of Man's going to die, and then he's going to rise from the dead. They didn't understand. And remember what Peter said to him? No, Jesus, you can't do that. You can't do that. And what did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. You have in your mind the things of man, not the things of God. What was going on? Peter, not knowing what he was doing, but being influenced by Satan, fiery darts lodged at the heart of Jesus. You think Jesus wasn't tempted to be discouraged, to be scared? And he had to confront those words. He tells us exactly what you do when somebody's trying to shut down the call of God in your life. Get behind me. Now listen, the Bible says also in Ephesians 6 that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Principalities, these are demons. So sometimes it's not that you're going to say it to the person, but you've got to confront it. Sometimes you let that person know graciously, no, that's not true. Or you can let them know, hey, please don't talk like that to me. You can say these things graciously with respect, but even sometimes you don't say it to the person right there in front of you, but you need to go that day and walk away and say, Lord, I thank you that what they said is not true. And I thank you that the way you see me and what you say about me, and you go back to the Word of God and you confront those words and you tear them down. You cut off, you condemn those words that were spoken against you that are not of the Lord. Can I hear amen to that?
Amen.
Go get your words into agreement with God. Get your words into agreement with your own words by sticking with your words of faith. Don't negate your words. Get into agreement with others who are believing the Lord with you. Pray together. And then number four, get into a disagreement. Cancel those words that are in disagreement with God. Do you see this? Do you see this if you'll do this? Do you see this? Maybe some of you right now are realizing, oh, that's what I wasn't doing. Here you were, I thought I was believing the Lord, but oh, no, I was missing it over here because I was letting people speak words of death over me. I was believing their words even though I was trying to believe God's word. No, you need to cancel that, see? Maybe some of you are realizing, oh, I've been negating my own words. See, today it changes, doesn't it? See, today it changes. Let's stand and let's respond to the Lord. Let's respond to the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, just repeat after me. Say, Father, I thank you that your word says that you love me. I am the beloved of God. Your favor is on me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have victory. I can do whatever you tell me to do. And you will provide for me according to your riches and glory. And I thank you, Father, that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. My life is made whole. Thank you, Lord, that you are with me, that you are for me, that I have an inheritance, a double portion of joy. No more shame, no more fear, no more bondage. I am free in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. I cancel every word. I cancel every accusation against you in the name of Jesus. I declare you are free. You are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. You can have what God says you can have. I bless you in the name of Jesus as your pastor. I bless you that you will fulfill the call of God on your life, that you will walk in fullness.